This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
So, where do we begin today?
Well, we're going to start with London's biggest gadget, the Post Office Tower.
Gadget. Oh, okay.
As we know it, the BT Tower is now. It's been sold. It's been sold for £275 million. To an American hotel group who are going to turn it into a hotel, which is a good idea. I went up there once. I went to the revolving restaurant when you could still go to the revolving restaurant. Do you know who operated the revolving restaurant at the top of the Post Office Tower?
When you say who operated it, what, you mean who actually turned the handle that made it
go
around?
No, I don't mean who turned the handle to make it go around. Right. I mean who ran the restaurant.
Suddenly was going into thinking of silent film comedy there. Probably Forte or somebody like that. It could go and have what era it was.
Nobody like that. It was Butlins.
Oh, okay. No, I did not know that. Butlins operated the restaurant. I also went up, though, I think after that era. It was some sort of press conference, and I don't really remember anything about it, except that it was quite interesting watching it go around. Yes. I went to a revolving restaurant in Texas once, and people kept putting matchsticks into the wall to know when they'd gone round once.
Well, the BT Tower, the Post Office Tower, built in 1964, it was an official secret until 1978.
It's a pretty and big secret. How? What do you think? They put a cloth over it at night.
Well, apparently it was illegal to photograph it because it was a state secret.
Seriously? How bizarre.
There was a myth that didn't appear on maps, but in fact it did appear on maps. But yes, you weren't allowed to photograph it or talk about it.
But given how it dominated the skyline of London, there must have been an awful lot of people breaking the Official Secrets Act.
There must have been.
Just in the background, if nothing else.
Exactly, yes.
Extraordinary. Anyway, why would anybody want to buy it?
To turn it into a hotel, I mean, it's. I don't use the word very often, but it really is iconic.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it very rarely
appears.
And you're
a man who actually designs icons.
Indeed, I am. It very rarely appears on skylines of London, although, of course, it used to. I suppose its place has now been taken by the Millennium Wheel, whatever that's called now, the Coca-Cola Wheel or whatever it is, and the Gherkin.
Yes. You're right. It doesn't. It's sort of a bit passé now, isn't it?
But it is.
It will come
bring
back
it
again.
Back. Bring it back, I say. Anyway, talking of official secrets, Project Titan was Apple's secret self-driving car project, and they were working, if rumour is to be believed, on a self-driving car without pedals or a steering wheel.
Ooh.
That's how self-driving it was. 10 years in research, they've now cancelled it. All 2,000 employees have either been fired or moved onto other projects.
Wow. We've talked a lot about problems with self-driving cars recently, haven't we? I mean, is anybody actually confident they're still going to manage this?
I mean,
California keeps cancelling contracts for all these people because they keep doing things like knocking people over, which is not the idea.
Which is not ideal. And well, while they may well work on American streets, move them to the windy medieval street layouts of most British towns, and they're not going to manage at all. They're used to straight roads with perpendicular intersections.
Yes, true.
Anyway.
I don't know. But yet the government still seems convinced that we are going to have them.
They do seem convinced. I think it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I'd rather go with you than the government.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's have one of these. Here we go.
So, talking of tech that doesn't work properly, the Odysseus lunar lander, the first thing to land on the moon for quite a long time, fell over on touchdown. Which means that its solar panels no longer point towards the sun, so the batteries have died, so they can't use it. What a shame. Now, the reason it fell over is because it uses a complex series of lasers to estimate its speed and direction and position. Mm-hmm. And when it was being prepared for launch, the lasers, of course, were a hazard for lab technicians. So they turned them off. And they forgot to turn them back on again.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, that cannot be seen.
It is true. There was a manual switch to turn them off, and no one turned them back on. And that's why it crashed.
I mean, you and I have watched both science fact films and science fiction films since we were in short trousers.
Yes.
Every single one features a checklist that people
You'd think they would, wouldn't you?
Oh, that's appalling. And how much did it cost? It was hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions, yes. Yes.
There's somebody feeling very foolish at the moment, trying not to...
Yes.
Trying to pretend it wasn't their job, Gov.
I imagine it's no longer their job.
Well, that's probably true, yes. Yes, yeah. Yes. They had one day working on Project Titan at Apple, and then they lost that too. Yes.
So, talking of zooming up into space...
Mm-hmm.
Space Perspective is the latest outfit to offer tourist flights up into space, well, I say into space, onto the edge of space, which will be taking place from next year. And to go up into space will cost you a mere £100,000, which compares to Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin quite well. And it'll be a six-hour flight, which is a good long time. So Virgin Galactic, for comparison, charged £365,000 for a 90-minute flight.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin charged, estimated between £230,000 and £316,000 for an 11-minute flight on his rocket.
Blimey. Well, okay, it does seem good. Yeah.
It seems like a bargain, 6 hours. Yeah. Yeah. And it'll spend 2 hours at its largest point. But the best thing of all is it's got bigger windows and a space lounge big enough to walk around in. So you're not just strapped into your seat, which includes a fully stocked bar and a lavatory.
Oh, so it's beating the Elizabeth line then?
It is beating the Elizabeth line. But if I were going up into space and anything, I would think a lavatory would be an absolute must-have.
Yes, so I guess if it's only going to last 11 minutes or so.
Even 11 minutes, I think I would almost certainly need to use it.
Well, yes, the trouble is you'd be asked to strap in again almost the moment you got in there.
Yes, well, you probably would. You'd miss it. Unless there was a window in the laboratory as well, of course.
Yeah. So that space perspective. And why are they able to stay up so long compared to the others?
They just planned it differently. I suppose they're hoping to attract more people.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
And if they offer Share Radio a fact-finding tour so they can report on it, I will let you know.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, you'd go without me. You would as well. Here we go. Let's have one of these. Right, where now?
We now go
back
to Earth with a crunch.
Right.
Or with a gentle whoosh, depending on how much faith you have in these space exploration vehicles. Down to AI images. And they've been producing AI images for some years now, and they've got better and better.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is bias, particularly racial bias. So in the early days, if you asked DALL-E, which was the OpenAI image generator, to do a picture with a judge, they'd give you a white man. If you asked for a gunman, they'd give you a black man, which is clearly not acceptable.
Yes.
So they've all been going crazy to be as liberal, as multiracial as they possibly can, just to show their complete lack of bias. Well, diversity has proved to be a problem in itself. So Google's Gemini project, which is the latest AI image generation from Google, will, if you ask it for German World War II soldiers, they're quite likely to be black or Asian.
Oh, yes, I read about this. Yeah. Yes.
Also, Vikings and popes are going to be a high likelihood of being black or Asian, which is a problem because, as we know, there were no black or Asian Vikings, popes, or indeed World War II German soldiers.
I'm guessing there would have been relatively few, yes.
They would. So Google has now paused images of people on Gemini until they get this sorted out. But you can see what a problem it is for all of them.
Yes, but surely there must be a way of actually sorting it out. I mean, you and I know that it's daft, so surely somebody could have programmed in or out the daftness.
Difficult to program in because, you know, you have to give diversity across the range of people being asked for. What do you specify as being only white? You know, you could say, okay, we'll specify World War II German soldiers and Vikings. And then someone asks for a pope and it gives you a black pope. Okay, let's add popes to the list.
I suppose so. But then, you know, even Italy at the time, you could put in, you know, demographic information, surely, for all these areas.
Yes. It's tricky. It's very tricky.
Supposed to be all-knowing. And clearly it isn't.
Clearly, no, it isn't.
Well, let us pause there for a moment. We'll be back in a moment with more gadgets and gizmos.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's gadgets and gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
And there is a new camera on the market. Actually, it's a phone. It's made by Xiaomi. It's Xiaomi 14 Ultra. And why I describe it as a camera rather than a phone is because it's made as a camera made by Leica, built into it, a 50 megapixel camera. Mm-hmm. Including a Sony one-inch sensor. Now, the one-inch sensor, excuse me, is the sensor that you get in high-end SLR cameras or even mirrorless cameras. Mm-hmm. How they build a one-inch sensor into a phone is, frankly, beyond me, because there isn't enough distance to go from the tiny lens you need on a phone to the one-inch sensor to make that operate. So they must have done something very, very clever with the optics. It will also shoot 8K video at 30 frames a second. 8K, which is pretty high resolution for video.
Yeah.
It will do 1080p slow motion at up to 1920 frames a second, which really is very
more than
very
most people need. Yes,
more than most people need. And it will be available for 6,500 yuan because it's available in China only at the moment. If and when it ships overseas, I will tell you the price. But it looks fascinating. Of course, the trouble is being a Xiaomi camera, it'll run Android, which we don't like, you and I.
No, we don't. Mind you, were getting quite excited until you thought about that.
You were getting excited? I'm glad.
No, you were. You were.
I was getting excited. Yes. I was getting very excited.
I don't get quite as worked up over cameras as you do.
No,
not quite.
Cameras are important. Okay. I think it's time for crowdfunding, don't you think?
Really? Well, in that case, yes. You can have one of these.
Thank you. Now, are you worried about dust mites in your bed?
No.
No, neither am I.
Particularly. Oh, okay.
But if I were, then I would jump at the X1 robot bed vacuum, which is currently on Kickstarter, which is a robot vacuum cleaner that patrols up and down your bed, sucking up the dust mites, and they claim sterilizing them with its UV light, with its LED UV light.
Right. Does it do bed bugs as well? Those bugs we were told were going to be coming over from Paris.
Well, it depends how big the bed bugs are, I suppose. If they're small enough. Not if they're cockroach size. I don't know how big bed bugs are. Are they?
No, nor do I. But you remember last year we were told that we're all going to be suffering from bed bugs.
Yes.
Any moment now, and then the story just went away again for some strange reason.
Maybe the bed bugs just lost in translation.
Yeah. Well, if it does bed bugs, I might be interested.
Well, maybe it does. $149, which is about £118. And you have until the 12th of March to go on Kickstarter and look for the X1 robot bed vacuum. It looks very cute, actually, going up and down your bed.
Really?
And it doesn't fall off the end. It's got a special sensor that doesn't fall off the end.
That's great. Though presumably you have to get out first.
Yeah, you do have to get out. No, it will avoid you if you're in the bed.
Okay.
That would just be a bit weird, I think, wouldn't it?
Yes. Really. It almost sounds as if you're tempted to get one.
I'm not tempted to get one. Oh, I like the idea of it. It's cute, but I'm not going to go and spend £118 plus shipping in order to get one of these.
Wow. No. Yes. Okay. Fine.
So, talking of bed bugs and the like, a Brazilian company called Birdview have produced a new drone which is capable of dropping 17,000 mosquitoes in a single 10-minute flight. What do you think of that?
Dropping? Why would it want to drop some mosquitoes?
I'm glad you asked me. I'll tell you why it wants to drop mosquitoes. So mosquitoes, very, very bad things. They cause any number of horrible diseases, and they're difficult to get rid of. Female mosquitoes only mate once in their lifetime, whereas the males go on and mate again and again and again. So this is the technique developed by the International Atomic Energy Agency is to irradiate male mosquitoes to make them sterile. So what happens is they drop the sterile mosquitoes. They go and impregnate, or rather don't impregnate, say they're going to impregnate the female mosquitoes. The female mosquitoes don't produce any eggs. They don't mate again because female mosquitoes don't, but the sterile male mosquitoes do. So the idea is that dropping these, it will greatly reduce the number of mosquitoes because many females will not produce eggs.
How do they sterilise the mosquitoes in the first place? And how do they know which ones are male and which ones are female?
That I don't know. There must be a way of telling. There must be a way.
But hang on, 17,000 mosquitoes? That's going to take a long time going through and say, no, that's female. No, that's female. That's female. Oh, okay, that's male. Let's sterilise that one. That's going to take a bit of time.
They probably grab a bunch of mosquitoes and sterilise them all.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So is this going to be absolutely life-changing for the danger of mosquitoes throughout the world?
I mean, they already do it. They already distribute sterile mosquitoes, but it's very hard to distribute enough of them. But having a drone that can drop 17,000 of them means they can cover a much wider area much more quickly. It's good. It's a good thing. It's good for the planet. Well, it's certainly good for the people who live on this planet.
Okay. Not so good for the mosquitoes.
Not so good for the mosquitoes, but we are not worried about mosquitoes dying out.
No, I'm not. Right. Where now?
Well, now back up into the sky, but not quite into space. Helicopters. Helicopters, I mean, they're gorgeous things and they behave very well, but they are notoriously very, very hard to fly. I have a friend who used to have a helicopter, and he took me up in it a couple of times, and both times he was just on the edge of panic the whole time we were up there. There's so much to consider.
That must have helped your frame of mind.
I just looked out the window. But he's got the joystick, he's got both pedals to operate, and keeping them level is really difficult. Well, the Skyrise 1 could make it very much simpler. That's SKYRYSE, which uses fly-by-wire technology, which automatically controls every aspect of the helicopter, leaving the pilot with just a single joystick to go forwards and backwards, left and right, in some way up and down. And there's a touch screen that they just swipe to start the engine, automatic takeoff and landing, and you don't need a helicopter license. All you need is a standard private pilot license and 20 hours of training on this on the Skyrise 1 in order to fly it.
Well, that sounds very so impressive.
Available next year from $1.8 million.
Okay. I don't know how much a helicopter costs. Is your friend going to get one?
He's not going to get one. No, sadly. Okay. So the equivalent of 18 flights to the edge of space. So I guess that's not bad.
Hmm. Yes, you can go up and watch them go past you.
You can go up and watch them go past you. I mean, good news for budding helicopter pilots, I think, certainly.
Well, yes, except I do actually know a young man who was a budding helicopter pilot, lived a couple of doors away from us, did all the training and everything, then couldn't get a job. There weren't enough jobs for helicopter pilots. The last I heard of him, he was waving table tennis bats on an airfield apron.
Oh, that's an apron. Well, how did you pick that word up? It is called an apron.
Yes.
I would not have remembered that word.
No, it just popped into my head somehow. No idea why.
Very impressed. And then let's move on.
Okay.
So, you have an armchair in your den, because it's an American product. Let's just imagine you have a den.
Okay, I've got a den.
It's basically a basement, but a kind of man cave type basement.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend comes around, and he said, "Well, come and watch the game with me, since we're sticking to the American theme here."
Yes.
I'll crack open a bud, and you can sit in and watch the game with me. But you've only got one seat there. So what you do, assuming you've already got your expandy armchair, is you pull one of the arms, and it slides out and expands to become a two-seater. The cushions are concealed in the base and in the arm itself. So you take them out and you put them on. And another friend comes along and say, "Hey, guys, I hear you're watching the game. I've brought a six-pack of buds. Can I join you?" You say, "Yes, absolutely." You pull the other arm and that expands to make a three-seater. So you have a single armchair that can cover a two-seater or a three-seater sofa. How about that? Isn't that clever?
It does actually sound quite clever, yes. There must be a catch somehow, but I don't know what it is.
Well, the only catch is it's they're estimated it's going to sell for $1,500. So, but then sofas are
pretty expensive. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a very good idea.
It does sound like a very good idea. Go to Expandy, Expandy, Expandy.furniture. I didn't even know there was a .furniture top-level domain name, but apparently there is.
No, it's quite a long one.
It is quite a long one, but it does leave you in no doubt as to the kind of thing they're selling.
Well, that's true. How, on the other hand, of course, if you're feeling particularly lazy, you could just invite no friends around at all, or just extend the whole thing and have a snooze.
And lie down on it and have a snooze, yes. Of course, the only drawback, it's not really a drawback, but if you've got room to expand it into a three-seater, why would you ever collapse it to get into a one-seater?
I have no idea.
No.
You need to make sure you've always got room on either side of it in order to be able to expand it.
You would.
So having the sort of tray with your bud and your nuts or whatever you're having beside you is going to be a problem.
It'll probably be popcorn. I think it'll be popcorn.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yes. It's still a problem because popcorn can go everywhere if you expand the sofa and it falls over.
What could you usefully do in the space taken up by two seats of a sofa? There must be something that could be useful. You could put an exercise mat down, I suppose.
I get the impression that people who have these dens in their basement to watch the game probably don't do that much exercise, but I could be wrong. Where do we go now?
You may well wait. Well, finally, we'll move on to Tesla, who are having an event, and they ordered 2,000 pies from a bakery in San Jose. And then phoned them back and said, "No, we want 4,000 pies."
Fantastic.
So the bakery cancelled all their other orders and laid in the materials to make 4,000 pies. And then Tesla cancelled the order without paying for it.
Ooh, bad Tesla. Ooh.
The bakery complained, not on Twitter /X or whatever we're supposed to call it, but on Instagram, which greatly embarrassed a Tesla. And so Elon Musk announced, not on Instagram, but on X, that he was going to pay for the pies that they hadn't bought.
It seems rather bad behaviour, but turned into good behaviour. But it does bother me that companies only seem to respond now if you go into social media and try and shame them into responding.
That's true. If you have a complaint about a company, I found the very best way of making that complaint effective is to talk about it on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's public, and then immediately someone will get back to you.
Yes, I know, and it's ludicrous. It shouldn't be like that, but it is.
It shouldn't, I agree. But it is.
Oh, okay, well, Not just lots of gadgets and gizmos, but also information about how to complain when companies do the dirty on you. That's it, though, for this week's Gadget and Gizmos. We will be back with more at the same time next week.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.